Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in another Saturday with some fun baseball talk with you, the Chicago baseball fan. This is Inside the Clubhouse, a spring training preview. Yes, the weather seemed spring-like this week, and it's time to head on down to Arizona with the Cubs and the White Sox. Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito, in for David Haw today. And Bruce, it's that time of year, almost time to head south and west.
It really is. It's been a Bellinger offseason. Every week we've talked about where Bellinger is going, if it's the Cubs or somewhere else. He is not signed yet. Scott Boras has Chapman, Martinez, Bellinger. He has two pitchers that, of note, that are not signed yet. So a lot of work to still be done out there. White Sox continue to make there are small moves that could be big moves down the road, bringing in a couple of young outfielders to add to the mix. We'll talk to you, the Cubs and Sox fans, all about it at 312-644-6767. That's right. Spring training starts Wednesday, Mike, and I'm pretty excited about the fact that there will be baseball to report, and we'll be out there talking about that on the Marquee Network, on the Score. Reporters will be starting to show up on Monday. So it's an exciting time of year for sure.
Absolutely. And still work to do. As you mentioned, Scott Boras still has a few of his heavy hitters out there and pitchers. And we want to know from you, both sides of town, Cubs and Sox, what's still out there that you'd like? And I know the obvious one, Bruce, as we started the show with, and as we have talked about just about every week on the show, the saga of the free agency of Cody Bellinger. But we want to talk to our listeners at 312-644-6767. What's incomplete on your team, and who else do you want to add of the guys that are still out there, the Scott Boras clients, the notables, but there are still plenty of others out there. And it's also, Bruce, and you know, this is almost seems like old news because it happened at the very beginning of the offseason, but it's Craig Counsell's first camp as a Chicago Cub.
Yeah, it's noteworthy, and it's something we'll be watching, where the players have to get used to Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell has to get used to a whole new organization. He started that at the end of November when he took the job and started to come into Wrigley Field on a weekly basis, looking at the organization, getting to know the people in the front office and all around the Cubs, some of the different people that are involved with the Cubs, you know, all the different departments. So it's a big job, and it's a big storyline, because as Cub fans continue to ask, with the only signing of Imanaga as the only notable free agent for the Cubs, did you bring in Counsell to manage like he did in Milwaukee, where they don't spend a lot of money, or Are they going to continue to go out and spend money in free agency? Those are the things that you hear from Cub fans on a regular basis. We'll try to fill in the blanks for you as Mike and I go along today from 9 to 11 a.m.
And we do have a great show for you. One of the guys the Cubs did get, this guy in a trade, Michael Busch, will join us. The Cubs' new first baseman will join us at 10. Paul DeJong of the White Sox, their new shortstop, he will join us. He's our first guest at 9:30, bottom of the hour. And our old pal George Hoffman will join us at 10:30. His book is Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. George will join us to talk about that and more as we get going. So a great show for you. And Bruce, leading to Michael Busch, as we were talking about the Cubs and Bellinger, you know, the idea is that Belly can play first and center as he did last year. But without Belly, he put it this way, having Bellinger makes things a heck of a lot easier for Craig Counsell.
Oh, no doubt about it. Look, he's an all-star player. He put up huge numbers, even though he missed 30 days last year. He put up all-star numbers. He's comeback player of the year in the National League. You know, we talked about it many times. A Gold Glove candidate in center or at first base. A good base runner. A great team guy. Everything you want. All he doesn't have right now is a contract with the Cubs. The Cubs want him. He wants to be there. Scott Boras would like to get him to a team that will pay him, 7 or 8 years. That doesn't seem to be out there in the marketplace at this point, and there seems to be disruption. One thing about Scott Boras you have to remember, he's got these great players out there, but he is not going to panic. He is not going to allow them to go back and just take any deal just because spring training is starting. That is not a part of what Boras has done over the past 35 years, being one of the top agents in the game. Whether you like him or not, he is certainly a very impactful guy with impactful players. That's just the way it is.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and the phones are jammed with people wanting to talk Chicago baseball as we head into spring training. We start out in Glencoe. Mike joins us to talk White Sox. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. I got to give Chris Getz a lot of credit for putting together a pretty interesting roster under what I'm sure is a totally shoestring budget. And as a Sox fan, I'm personally looking forward to Willie Mays Hayes reporting to camp sometime soon, the way we're going. but seriously, I can't escape the feeling, guys, that this roster of young players and players on the fringe is much more suited to Ricky Renteria's talent and personality than Pedro Grifol, who was hired to manage a completely different team. Am I being unfair to Mr. Grifol? Can he relate to this interesting mix of ball players?
Well, look, Mike and Espo, Pedro has a lot to prove, okay? I mean, he was brought in to manage, as you said, Mike, a team that was supposed to win, contend for playoffs, you know, be a 90-plus type win season. It didn't happen. The rest now is on him to show that he can handle young players, and he did a lot of that as a coach with the Kansas City Royals for a long period of time, and a guy that was in their minor league system in player development as well. So I think he's up to the task. We'll have to see. Again, does he have any type of good feeling from the White Sox fans at this point? No, it's an incomplete. You know, you didn't get an A, B, C, D, F. What you got is an incomplete. So he has plenty to prove to White Sox Nation, and it's not going to be easy with a team full of guys that are in the developmental stages.
Yeah, no question. And if you had asked Chicago baseball fans prior to the end of last season which manager would not be back this year, I think the heavy money would have been on Grifol and not Ross, and yet here we are, and Grifol is still managing the White Sox, and Craig Counsell, the new Cubs manager, heading into training camp. So pressure definitely on Pedro Grifol. 312-644-6767 is the number. Jack is up next. He's in Hillside, and he's on Inside the Clubhouse.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm interested, like everyone, trying to think along with our two general managers, and I want to agree with your last caller that I like what Chris Getz has done so far at the White Sox roster. But the other issue is I think things have changed a lot recently for the Cubs, trying to think along with Hoyer. And these two deals that, well, the one deal for the first baseman and then the sudden emergence of Matt Shaw at third base tells me, you know, they were no longer interested in picking up Matt Chapman. They no longer need Bellinger as a first baseman. So he's somewhat devalued to the Cubs. And I'm beginning to think maybe they don't want to sign Bellinger because they've got, you know, three outfielders knocking on the door, MLB top 100 guys, plus right. two corner outfielders. Do they really need him? And with Craig Counsell, can you get by, you know, substituting? You've got a variety of guys, Mastroboni, Wisdom, the youngsters. Somebody else may play center. What do you think it's possible they're going to pass on Bellinger?
Yeah, you know, I do. Mike, what are your thoughts on that? I look at it this way. If you, in a division that seems to be up for grabs, the National League Central, if you go out and you get a Bellinger, you kind of feel more confident about the fact that they're going to have middle of the order production. Right now, there's no confidence in Michael Busch, who we'll talk to at 10 o'clock, because nobody knows him and he only has his MVP season and PCL to show for what he might bring to the table here. In the middle of the order, and then you have PCA in center field, who has a lot to prove, and is he ready yet offensively to play in the major leagues? Those are two areas that you can go and feel good about the fact that these are very talented guys. But Mike, do you feel good enough that you have a number three and a number four guy in your lineup to have a run production to hit 800 to 850 runs like they did last year?
I do not feel good enough, Bruce, and I think we saw this firsthand last year when Bellinger was in the lineup versus when Bellinger was not. What I think is happening is what we've kind of been talking about for a number of months, and, you know, Scott Boras, as we have talked to directly and indirectly, you know, he's going to hold out his clients for the most years and the most money, trying to maximize their earnings. The Cubs, from everything I understand, are holding firm at what the level they think that Bellinger deal should be. And if they can get him back on that, I think that's what ideally everyone would want. I mean, Belly would like more money, I'm sure, but the Cubs want a shorter term and probably less dollars than what Scott Boras is asking for.
Well, you know, there has to be a lot of moving parts, and we'll eventually it'll come out whether he signs with the Cubs or not, I believe. And that is the moving parts for Bellinger. If he's not getting the seventh and eighth year, maybe not even the sixth, does he get to walk from this contract after 1 or 2 years? You know, will the Cubs give in? It doesn't make sense for the Cubs to sign him for a one-year deal with, you know, options for him to walk, okay? It really doesn't. But at the same time, if you think along with Hoyer and the rest of the front office, you know, they have outfielders coming. I mean, another year or another 2 years of Bellinger would be great. You know, maybe you could win a division, go deep into the playoffs, not be committed. But he's still a young player. He's going into the season at 28. So is he somebody that you trust you can build around, or do you feel you have the cachet of young outfielders coming and you don't need to tie yourself up for 6 or 7 years with Bellinger?
That to me is, I think, the rub, and our caller Jack in Hillside pointed out correctly that a lot of the Cubs' best prospects are outfielders. You also have the Scott Boras factor in there with, you know, the years and the dollars. Yeah. I don't necessarily oppose the go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, the one difference I'll talk about is they have outfielders, but we don't know what that production is going to be. Okay,
sure.
We have an idea what the production would be from Happ. We have an idea what the production will be from Suzuki. Although, if you go by the last 2 months, you don't know. I mean, he could be an all-star and hitting 30 home runs and driving 100. We don't know that. But the comfortability on Bellinger is, yeah, he had two really bad years before this, but before that he was a Rookie of the Year and a MVP. He showed you what he could do in 5 months. Can you imagine what he can do in six? So there's the unknown. You can talk yourself into a lot of different things, Mike. But when you're spending $150 to $175 million on a player, you want to be right.
312-644-6767 is our number. That is our text. That is also where you call us up. And as you mentioned too, Bruce, in the Pecota projections out this week, the NL Central, very winnable. I believe it was 85 games wins projection for St. Louis. The Cubs were at 80 point something, 81, somewhere in there. So add a belly into that mix, and it's going to be very similar to last year in a very competitive NL Central division.
Yeah, and look, Pecota's right many times, wrong many times.
Sure.
The reality is they had them, the White Sox, pretty low last year, surprising a lot of people, and they didn't go low enough. You know, nobody had them at 61 wins. So,
right.
I would just say this, that both divisions are going to be very competitive. I don't think anybody expects the White Sox to compete for that title there. But, you know, what teams really scare you there? I think Detroit has certainly taken an uptick, and a lot of people are thinking that they're an 85-win team at this point. Minnesota has done very little in this offseason here. They were a decent team and won the division last year. Kansas City, you know, just same as the White Sox. You know, they're 100 losses. They've got a long way to go. And Cleveland, you know, has not stepped up and added much to what is a good young pitching group, but not much more at this point. I would say both divisions, both Centrals are wide open.
Absolutely. Out to the phones we go again. Paul is in Valparaiso, and Paul joins us now on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, fellas. Love the show. Can't wait to hear George Hoffman. That's great. Great to hear him back on the radio later today. But guys, Bruce, and I know you're a proponent of the open market, and I know you're a big proponent of Scott Boras. But I think, you know, too bad Theo left Major League Baseball. There's got to be some rules put in on Scott Boras, because I get it. Like I said, it's an open market. He needs to make money. His players need to make money. But I wish there would be a FanGraph study of how many of these guys he actually screws, and he waits this long and holds them hostage. And again, maybe it's up to the players to take a stand on him. But I mean, he's bad for the game that these guys are not in. Spring training starts on Wednesday, and these guys are still sitting out there, and they're all not going to get the money that he's waiting for them to get. So, like I said, maybe it's the players' issue to wake up and stop trusting this guy so blindly. And I'd like to see the stats on how many of these guys he holds out till spring training actually take 1 or 2 year deals and get nowhere near the money he's holding out. He's pompous, and he's arrogant, and he's bad for the game.
Thank you. Well, look, you can say a lot of things about Boras. Unsuccessful is not one of them. Now, has he had clients quit him and not feel like they were represented by him properly? Yes. They have, just like other agents. I'm not a proponent of Scott Boras. I'm an observer of Scott Boras, and I've been watching him for the last 35, 37 years. Do a lot of things. And, you know, he runs a $100 million corporation. He's hugely successful. Do I always like what he brings to the table? It doesn't matter for me. The reality is he has the best players, and he normally helps set the market. Other players and other agents, you know, they scratch their head on him. They say, well, yeah, I don't necessarily like him, but he's also the guy that's helped raised the bar on money being made by players over the last 30 years. He has been a very influential force in raising the money and getting more money for players. And other agents and other players have to realize that and tip their hat.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with Paul about getting the guys in spring training, but we've talked about this all offseason that Boras is not afraid to go into spring training with his guys. We saw it most famously, I think, with Bryce Harper, who didn't sign until, I don't have the exact date, but it was well into spring training.
It was after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, before he signed with Philly, and I think you would be hard-pressed to argue that that hasn't worked out very well for both the Phillies and for Bryce Harper. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's definitely, we've got some texts here, Bruce. People are sick and tired of talking about Bellinger because this has dragged on for 4 months. I had a friend tell me yesterday, voicing his concerns, he's like, please address that. I'm like, we will address it, but I won't have any good answer for you.
He's going to go somewhere. He's not going to sit out. Now, No. Will he wait until the end of March? I wouldn't put past Boris. You know, if he doesn't think he's getting what he wants, he'll wait. And what happens when spring training starts, Mike? What happens to players as spring training begins? By the beginning of the regular season, there's going to be injuries and there's going to be some panicking going on different teams as to how they're going to fill out their roster. It always happens. Yep. You're not going to do it necessarily with all minor league players. So, look, this has been a weak free agent market after Ohtani, and it continues to be that way. That's how it's viewed by baseball general managers, baseball owners. They're not just jumping at just adding somebody because they happen to be on the free agent list.
We have Paul DeJong, the White Sox new shortstop, joining us at the bottom of the hour. A few more calls before then, though, and we'll stay with the White Sox. Ron is on the south side, and Ron is on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, guys. The sweetest words in all of sports, pitches and catches report. So,
absolutely.
A couple of things regarding the White Sox. Not anticipating them bringing in any players. I would like to see Andrew Benintendi really kind of, you know, get going and have a better season, some progress with Andrew Vaughn, but also looking forward to hopefully having a decent right fielder that can at least just play some defense. I'm really looking at the guy they got from Arizona. Arizona has done pretty good in these last few years as far as developing players. So I'm looking to that. But the main thing as far as looking with the White Sox is seeing Colson Montgomery. And with Robinson's center and seeing Colson. I like watching the game up the middle, particularly defensively. So I know he'll be young. But those are the things, guys. It's going to be tough because I think they'll pick the ball up. They'll be a little cleaner. But this might be one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball. So, but the good thing about it is baseball will be coming soon. Thanks, guys.
Well, Ron brings up the point of Fletcher, and we talked to Dominic Fletcher, who's a right fielder candidate that was traded for with Arizona, brought in by the White Sox yesterday. Let's listen to him talk a little bit about the trade to the White Sox and his excitement about being able to prove himself.
Super excited. I'm lucky enough to know a good group of guys on the team, having played with them in a number of different, you know, teams growing up or, you know, college, whatever. So I know I'll be excited to see a lot of those old faces. I think we have a really good group of players. And then for me specifically, you know, just a better opportunity, you know, kind of being stuck behind Corbin Carroll in Arizona and having a shot to, you know, compete for a spot.
Bruce, I thought the same thing. You know, Fletcher just mentioned it. He's behind Corbin Carroll in Arizona. Now here he has a completely wide open. We've joked about it for years. Right field is, you know, the black hole for the White Sox, and he has a chance. He can grab that job and run with it. Whereas with Arizona, you know, he's behind an all-star, much like Michael Busch, right? I mean, the opportunity is here for him with the Cubs, just like with Fletcher and the White Sox.
He's a little guy, but he's a strong guy. He's 5'6", okay? But reminds me a little bit of Adam Eaton, you know, a little bit. I don't know if he has the same speed that Eaton had when he first came up, but very good defender, good arm, good left-handed bat. You know, they also traded for Zach Deloche from Seattle as well, who's going to be contending for it. So the White Sox quietly are working hard. They're also bringing in Kevin Pillar, the veteran from the right side, to contend for a job. He'll likely make the team out of spring training. So, you know, very quietly the White Sox are moving toward trying to better right field. And then who knows what's Oscar Colas, and if he continues at some point to mature and be ready the way they thought he was last year in spring training.
We've got time for one more call before Paul DeJong joins us, and that is Steve in Delaware. Steve joins us in Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, men, and really looking forward to baseball season. Not to shortchange the value of that left-handed bat and the great season Cody Bellinger had, but I really think the Cubs need to lean in to pitching and defense. I think they have a far greater hole with another starter, and I really think if we start the year with Wisdom and Madrigal as our answer at third base, we're looking at another tough season. So I think, you know, you still got a lot of value in Talkman to start the year in center field. Hopefully, you know, the young guy develops and, you know, he can take over there eventually. So I think defense and that third base is a far greater need than Cody Bellinger, given the value, the cost factor as well.
Yeah, thank you. Mike, Christopher Morel is going to have to play somewhere, okay?
Yep.
I don't know, you know, talking to Jed Hoyer over the winter, he's convinced he can play everywhere in DH as well, but I'm thinking that third base should be his, and we'll see if that happens. We'll see if he's, you know, he took a first baseman's glove to him to the winter leagues and didn't play in games there, but was, you know, Cub coaches were helping him work out at that position during batting practice every day. So we'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, third base, I just don't see why Christopher Morel can't be your everyday third baseman. And just leave him there and let him hit the 25 to 35 home runs and drive-in runs and being the exciting young player that he can be for the Chicago Cubs.
And we will see if that's what Craig Counsell has in mind. Again, we have a great show for you today. Our guests, Cubs first baseman Michael Busch at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock. George Hoffman, our old friend from The Score, with his book, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, at 10:30. And coming up next, stick around for new White Sox shortstop Paul DeJong. He'll join us in Inside the Clubhouse when we return. It's Bruce Levine and it's Mike Esposito. A quick reminder, though, for the Circa Big Game Party, join 670 The Score and Circa Sports Illinois for the Big Game Party on Sunday, February 11th at Benchmark in Old Town. Mullionhaw, Bernstein Holmes and Rahimi and Parkins and Spiegel all broadcasting live from 12 to 3, getting you ready for the big game between Kansas City and San Francisco. You must have at least $100 in your Circa Sports Illinois app to attend. Doors open at noon, live entertainment and complimentary game day bites. So go to circasports.com, sign up for the invite, and for more info. Paul DeJong next on Inside the Clubhouse here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito, and for David today, this is Inside the Clubhouse, your baseball headquarters every Saturday morning, 52 weeks out of the year, as we wait for Paul DeJong to join us from the White Sox. Bruce, I wanted to bring this text out to you from our text line at 312-644-6767, our listener line, the Score listener line, presented by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Some optimism here for the White Sox from the 309. I think there's a good chance the White Sox will surprise a lot of people this year. 2 years ago, we were really looking for Cease, Kopech, and these young pitchers. Now we should have solid defense, which will be above average hitting as well from hopefully Moncada, Vaughn, and the outfielders. That is certainly the sunny side, or the sunny view, that the improved defense and some bounce back years from the offense make the White Sox a chance to surprise.
Yeah, Mike, the White Sox will have to struggle mightily to have a worse year than they had last year. Right. And people will be saying, well, you know, Levine, you look at what they've done, and all they've done is subtract and bring in some young guys and some veterans to fill in some roles. Why would you think that they were going to be better? I think they're going to be better just because they're going to be a better defensive team. They're going to have possibly, with the new guys they brought in, better makeup. They have better leadership at the top, okay? So from all of that, I would say, look, 70 to 75 wins, if they can get enough starting pitching innings out of them, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, knowing how average Major League Baseball is these days, okay? Mm-hmm. How in general, you look at teams like Arizona last year, winning 84 games and then going to the World Series. The year before, Philadelphia winning 85 games, both of them last seeds, the worst records, going to the World Series. So with that in mind, it's not pie in the sky for the White Sox. I'm not predicting they're going to win or have a winning record. I just think they can be a better version, a team better to watch out there, that makes fundamental plays, that plays together, that runs the bases better, that blocks balls behind the plate. You know, a lot of the problem, I feel, with the pitching was the catching for the White Sox over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I think bringing in Maldonado and Stassi are going to be big elements of improvement as the White Sox continue to add arms to their rotation and their bullpen. Again, am I predicting 85 wins and a playoff team? No, I am not. But I think they will be a better team to watch, a more productive team as far as defending. Offensively, I don't know. I can't predict what Moncada is going to do. Robert is a pretty predictable guy, that he's going to be in the top five players, and if he's healthy and plays 150 games, he'll be an MVP candidate. Vaughn took a step up, not as far as people liked. But on the other hand, 20 home runs, more RBIs than any time in his career, he can continue to be more productive. So again, is it, am I predicting, you know, great things for the White Sox? No, but I will be surprised if they're not a more watchable team in 2024.
I'm with you, Bruce. I think there's still room for Vaughn to improve, lots of room. Moncada depends on health. You mentioned the improved defense. And we heard it. We played a piece of sound from Andrew Benintendi last weekend. In his first season as a member of the White Sox, it was not the greatest season. And he certainly knew it, and he is working on it. There's lots of room for him to improve as well. So we'll see how that all shakes out. 312-644-6767 as we get back out to the phones. And Paul is in Wrigleyville. He's up next on Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Paul.
It's crummy, but I was hoping everybody's having a good time. I was looking at those Pecota projections that you guys were talking about earlier, and I feel like they got the Cubs and the White Sox pretty accurate. But I'm surprised Bruce, maybe, or Espo, whoever wants to kind of take it, but they got the Cardinals really high up in the Central. And I don't see the moves that the Cardinals made that are going to make them that much better. Am I overlooking this? Or I think Cincinnati was underrated, and I think that St. Louis was overrated.
Yeah, Mike and Crowley, thanks for the call. I think you're right. Yeah, 85 wins for the Cardinals after one of their worst records in the last 30 years. Winning 69 last year—that's surprising to me. But we're gonna segue, you know, over to back to the White Sox here. Again, Mike, did the Cardinals do enough? I mean, certainly, you know, Sonny Gray is gonna be an influential pitcher there. Some of the other guys they brought in—I'm not so sure about that. They still have Thunder in the lineup at first base, at third base. They're trying to figure it out. I don't think they're a slam dunk at 85 wins.
I agree. And, Bruce, it's now time for us to head on out to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois, where the White Sox newest player, one of the newest players, joins us.
Paul DeJong, who's going to be the starting shortstop for the Chicago White Sox, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us. Paul, first of all, welcome to the airwaves of basically hometown area for you. How has the first couple months gone as a Chicago White Sox for you?
Oh, it's been great. I've been welcomed by a lot of people. Going to the Fan Fest thing in Chicago, I really got to see how close I felt to being back home. You know, the Illinois State connection, the Antioch connection, and you know, going to games as a kid at what was U.S. Cellular Field, now Guaranteed Rate. So just real special for me to be able to have this opportunity.
Paul, you had the privilege of spending a lot of time in one place. It's a kind of a rarity in the modern game, but a lot of seasons in St. Louis before bouncing around. But I know the White Sox hope you found a new home, a new long-term home here on the South Side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the White Sox have a great tradition, a long tradition of baseball, and you know, a lot of great players, a lot of great pieces to work with. So I'm excited just to be somewhat of a leader on this team, a lot of young players, and get to share my experiences playing for the Cardinals for so long, and just bring my knowledge and, you know, learn from others and try to, you know, impart whatever I've experienced to this team and to help really to have a synergistic relationship between the staff and the players and, you know, just try to break everything down game by game, you know, inning by inning, pitch by pitch. I think as much as we can break that down and focus in on the moment, it'll help us in the long term.
Paul, you and I had a chance to chat a couple weeks ago when you said when the White Sox were had some players out at the Boys and Girls Club and also, you know, checking in with some of their season ticket holders. And we talked a little bit about how Slug and your approach might need to change a little bit and tweak a little bit. Can you tell me how that 30 home run season, again, might have impacted you and your philosophy going forward?
Yeah, just, you know, having that 30 home run season, it was like, okay, now do it again. Whereas when I went into that season, it wasn't about trying to hit 30 home runs. That was a byproduct of, you know, a good approach, good timing, kind of I was healthy. I played 159 games that year, so that always helps to be able to stay on the field and, you know, get those opportunities. But, you know, pole side home runs are something that have increased for me over the years, whereas early on in my career, kind of dead center, opposite field home runs, those are really telling for where I'm at with my timing and my swing and my approach. So I want to focus on, like I was saying, you know, taking my base hit to the other side and then, you know, hitting a hanging breaking ball to left center. I think if I can hit the fastball to right center and a hanging breaking ball to left center, that means I'm in a pretty good position to cover a lot of speeds and a lot of locations. And so as much as I enjoy hitting a pull side home run, I think that can honestly get you into a little bit of a funk, because then you go up there trying to subconsciously really try to do it again when that was really just a result of, you know, things lining up. So what I need to go back to is that consistent approach of, you know, hard line drives up the middle, the other way, hitting it where it's pitched. And obviously easier said than done, but being aware of that and being aware of my tendencies should help me to navigate through a season.
White Sox shortstop Paul DeJong, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. And Paul, Chris Getz, the White Sox GM, has made lots of reference to being stronger defensively, being stronger up the middle. We've seen it in the moves, not just your acquisition, but also behind the plate and with Nicky Lopez at second. Now, you've seen that. You've seen good defense throughout the course of your career. What do you think that could bring to this White Sox team in terms of where they struggled last year versus going forward to 2024?
I think playing good defense for your pitcher is so important. You know, turning double plays, having a strong up the middle, you know, with Maldonado behind the plate. And I've always loved watching Nicky Lopez play. He's super athletic, you know, plays the game the right way. And, you know, we can't give away outs in Major League Baseball. You know, those things I can remember so many times where an error turns into a monster inning and you lose that game. And you start adding those things up over the course of a season, and you're down 10 games when you could have been up 10 games. So a lot of things can happen with just such small attention to detail. So for me, it's going to be kind of a synergistic relationship between, you know, our infield guys, our pitchers, knowing our pitchers, doing our analytics and studying about positioning on hitters, and, you know, certain pitchers pitch certain ways. And so I think a lot of it comes down to communication. And one thing that we did with the Cardinals a lot was discuss things. You know, we talk about defense. Yeah, we have hitters meetings all the time, but we need to have defense meetings. We need to break things down, you know, after a game. Sometimes in St. Louis, if a play came up, we'd be in the video room with the relevant parties involved and talking about, you know, what went wrong, what we need to do. And then a lot of times we'd work on those things in early work or something the next day. So I think just having that presence of mind to slow things down and discuss plays, as opposed to just, oh, the game's over, we're going to go home and not talk about it. So I think communication is really big when it comes to defense, and so that we're all on the same page and working towards the same goals.
You do come from the Cardinal system, the George Kissel, you know, system of St. Louis Cardinals baseball that's been played for so many decades, going back to the Branch Rickey era back in the 40s and 30s. But can you talk a little bit about leadership? You had the great good fortune to play with Yadier Molina, who, as far as most people understand the game, is one of the great leaders and great players over the last couple of decades, if not longer than that. Talk to us about what a great leader is and what a guy like Molina brought to a team every day that we might not be quite aware of.
Yeah, you know, playing with Yadi for, 6 years, I think, his ability to play every day mentally tough, even though physically he wasn't in his prime, he wasn't in his best shape, just to be able to see that mental toughness, to be able to go out there and compete and give everything he's got, was something that was really special to witness. You know, I had a great view of watching Yadi, watching the way he moves, just how calculated his motion was. He was real graceful for a big guy. And, you know, he taught me a lot about keeping my head up. You know, how many times he's backpicked guys that, you know, he's you know, even a guy, he swings and he loses his bat and the bat goes over the dugout. Yadi's not watching the bat. He's looking at the base runner who's also watching the bat trying to backpick him, you know. So just so many little things. He'd even position me sometimes from behind the plate. I'd be on him. You know, and he would tell me to do one thing and move over a little bit. He would see the field in such a great way. I think, you know, also his experience and calm under pressure. And then obviously the fundamentals. He was working. I mean, remember in spring training, he was working with all the catchers in camp, you know, some minor league guys, some major league guys, that he was the one running the show. He was demonstrating the fundamentals, but also working on them at the same time. So, you know, just the attention to detail and the work ethic was so important, and that's how he played so many games, caught so many innings. And, you know, even his clutch hitting, like we knew his legs were sore from catching all those years and all those games, especially late in the season. But he has this way to be able to turn on that switch and get a big hit when we needed it. And it was sometimes just a sac fly or a base hit. You know, he wasn't hitting home runs at a ridiculous pace, but he was going to give you a good at bat. And, you know, that's just something that inspires the rest of the team to continue on.
I wish I had a nickel for every time I saw him take a pitch to right field and drive in a big run and from the seventh inning on. That was mm-hmm. the beauty of Molina. He was a winner. You know, how many guys can you say that about? Paul? We're hoping you're a winner for the Chicago White Sox. Look forward to seeing you in Glendale within the next week or 10 days. Thanks for taking some time out with me and Mike today on Inside the Clubhouse. All the best to you, and enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Great. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Take care. Thank you, Paul.
That's Paul DeJong, the White Sox new shortstop on Inside the Clubhouse here on The Score. Coming up at the top of the hour, Michael Busch, the new Cubs first baseman. And coming up next, Ozzie Guillen having success again. We'll talk about that next on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He's 2 for 3 in the game, trying to keep it alive. Ground ball to second base. Escobar to first. That's it! In the return of the historic tournament to Miami in the United States, Venezuela wins the 2024 Caribbean Series.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And there it is, the final out of the Caribbean World Series. And if you're wondering why we are playing that for you, Bruce, a very familiar face to Score fans and Chicago baseball fans was heavily involved in that.
Ozzie Guillen was the manager of this team from Venezuela that won the Caribbean Series. It's a big deal. Winter baseball and the Caribbean teams that play there are a huge factor. They play a high brand of baseball with a lot of major league players involved. And Ozzie took over this team that wasn't really expected to do a heck of a lot this year and drove them all the way through a championship in Venezuela to being the best team to be playing the Dominican Republic yesterday in the Caribbean Series and winning the Caribbean Series. Ozzy and Tommy Lasorda, now the only managers in history to win a Caribbean Series and a World Series as a manager. And I guess it always leads us back to the question, Mike, is Ozzy ever going to get a chance to manage again? And why not? I mean, again, has he been blackballed that badly that since 2012 and 13, the last time that he managed, why can't Ozzy find a job again? He was interviewed for the job with the White Sox before Grafal was hired. They picked Grafal. I don't know. I mean, look, the transgressions that Ozzy had, you know, 10, 12 years ago were certainly not great for him and his family that he had to deal with. But again, you know, nobody died there. You know, this is a great baseball man who has contributed mightily to the Chicago baseball scene and baseball in particular. And I just don't understand why he's not managing.
Yeah, Bruce, I think certainly that we have seen far worse forgiven and guys welcomed back with other opportunities than from what happened to Ozzy. And we've heard him. I mean, he's talked about it on The Score. He's talked about wanting to manage again. The fire is still there. You hear it on the postgame show there on NBC Sports Chicago. I, for one, would welcome Ozzy back. I think he's great for the game. There was nothing better than, you know, an Ozzy Guillen pregame, you know, reporters meeting in the dugout where we would sit there and talk baseball with him for 20 or 30 minutes, you know, on a daily basis almost. And, you know, that kind of knowledge and that kind of charisma for the game, I guess, you know, I think that would be welcome in Major League Baseball right now.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, and again, we're talking about a great person, a great Chicago person, and also a terrific baseball guy. You know, you hear him on the pre and post game for White Sox baseball on television. You hear him on The Score all the time. You know, he's been a member of The Score family for years. It's mind-boggling to think that people are afraid, and that's the only term I can use, afraid of Ozzy Guillen and the powerful baseball guy he is. I just do not understand. I've never heard anybody say, yeah, Ozzy's, they're not hiring him because he doesn't know what he's doing, okay? Or he's not a good manager. I've only heard, gee, people are afraid to hire Ozzy because they never know what he's going to say next. I don't know. I mean, he's on the air every night, you know, White yep. Sox season. And all he is an attraction and a guy that people love to listen to because he's honest all day long and gives you his opinion. He's not afraid politically about what it does to him. And maybe that's the thing that ownership and general managers are afraid of.
Ozzy and Tommy Lasorda, the only managers to win the World Series and the Caribbean Series. So congrats to Ozzy, and we'll see, hopefully, if he gets another chance. When we return on Inside the Clubhouse, we will welcome new Cubs first baseman Michael Busch. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haugh. You've got Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.